Not Pastor Evans' word.
I am who it says I am.
I can do what it says I can do.
I can be who it says I can be.
And I will have what it says I can have.
Today,
I will hear the word of God.
I boldly declare
that my mind is alert.
My heart is receptive.
My ears are open.
And I better not go to sleep.
I'll never be the same.
In Jesus' name,
amen. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for your power. Thank you for your spirit. Thank you for Jesus who paved the way for us to come boldly to the throne of grace. So Lord, we thank you for the mercy and the grace that we need to function today. We thank you for the Spirit of God who's already here. And Lord, I yield myself to be used by your Spirit. And I pray that the word you've given me will reach down in the depths of our core, of our hearts. And that Lord, as we implement what we hear, our lives will be changed for the better. And I declare in the lives of everyone who's watching and those who are here that signs, miracles, and wonders are going to follow our lives in Jesus' mighty name. Everybody say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. Today I'm doing a random message from the heart. Everybody say this is from the heart. And what that means is this message is not necessarily part of a series. It's not connected to another message or anything, but it's connected to a random thought that's been circulated in my heart. Sometimes I have things that's in my heart that I'm working on and I'm working through. And so if you're taking notes or if you need our notes and you don't have them, raise your hand and our ushers will give you a copy of today's notes. You won't have to worry about writing a lot of notes unless I say something that sticks out, because the message notes have all the scriptures and all the points that I have. And so I want to talk about today, if you're taking notes, your heart affects your harvest. Everybody say, my heart affects my harvest. And that's what I want to talk about, because just like the engine of a car is responsible for that car moving and running, so is the heart of a person. The heart of a person is that person's core life. It's that person, it's where their thoughts and their life and their attitudes and their beliefs come from. In fact, Proverbs chapter 4 verse 23 in the Message translation says this: keep vigilant watch over your heart, because that's where life starts. I love the New Living Translation. It says this: guard your heart above all else. Everybody say above all else. It said, guard your heart above all else, for it, your heart, determines the course of your life. And so the direction of our lives as people, it comes from our hearts, but our hearts also affect our harvest. And I want to show you that, because I believe in the days to come, there are some big things that God's going to bring your way. But it's the condition of our heart that's going to determine the level of harvest that we receive. Amen. And so the goal today is to help you see how our hearts affect our harvest so that we can, on purpose, live a life with pure hearts. So here's point number one, if you're taking notes, and I'm going to try to fly through here, but there are a couple of things that I'm going to say today that I haven't said before that I really want you to pay attention to. So here's point number one: your heart affects your harvest. Everybody say, my heart affects my harvest. And so here's what we're going to do. I'm actually going to read a parable that Jesus gave in the New Testament. And typically, when Jesus did a parable, he would say the parable, and then he would explain what the parable meant. A lot of times when he would say the parable, the disciples did not understand, and so he would give the interpretation. Well, so for the lack of time, I'm not going to read the whole thing. I'm going to read the end of the parable that explains the parable, so we won't have to read the beginning part of the parable. So I'm starting in Mark chapter 4. I'm reading out of the King James Version. I'm reading in verse 13. Now, this was Jesus talking. He had already described the first part of the parable, so he's describing the answer to the parable. He said unto them, know you not this parable? And how then will you know other parables? And really what Jesus is saying is, if you can understand this parable that I'm about to say, he says you can understand all of the parables. So then he goes into verse 14 and he says, the sower is sowing the word. I'm a sower this morning. I'm sowing the word. Watch what happens. And he says, and these are people who by the wayside where the word is sown, but when they have heard, Satan comes immediately and takes the word that was sown from where? Their hearts. So we're going to call these wayside hearts. Wayside hearts are hearts that when the word is sown, the word doesn't have enough time to sit in soil. The devil comes immediately and takes the word. But I want you to notice here, the word was sown where? In their hearts. Everybody say in their hearts. So the word of God is sown into where? Our hearts. Look in verse 16. And these are they likewise which also sown on stony ground. We're going to call them stony ground hearts. Well, let's see what stony ground hearts look like. They are people who, when they have heard the word, immediately they receive it with gladness. And they have no root in themselves. And so they endure for a time. And then afterwards, when affliction or persecution arises for the word's sake. See, some things you're going through, it's nothing about you. It's about the word that's in you. He says immediately they are offended. And that's why in the church world, offense is the number one weapon that the devil wants to use to root that word up out of your life. Amen. And it says in verse 18, and these are they which are sown among thorns. We're going to call them thorny hearts. They hear the word and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches and the lust of other things. They enter in and they choke the word, and that word in these thorny hearts become what? Unfruitful. Look now in verse 20. And then these are they which are sown on good ground. Well, what is he talking about? What is the good ground? The good ground is that person's heart. Because remember, we talked about stony hearts, we talked about thorny hearts, we talked about wayside hearts. Well, these conditions of the ground is the condition of a person's heart. And he says, and these are they which sown on good ground, which hear the word, watch this now, they receive the word, and then they bring forth fruit from the word. Watch this, read it with me. Some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100-fold. And so listen, the fold of this increase is determined by the condition of the ground, or we're going to say it like this, or the condition of a person's heart. So listen, you and I's heart condition is what determines the 30 and the 60 and 100-fold in our life. And I'm going to show you something that's very powerful about your heart and how the condition of it will determine your level of belief. So here's a take-home statement that I want you to write down. The quantity of my harvest is determined by the quality of my heart. Boy, that's good right there. That's good. See, this might not be having you jumping and screaming and running around and all that, but I tell you what, this is solid right here. The quantity of my harvest is determined by the quality of my heart. So if the quality of my heart dictates the quantity of my harvest, then you and I must protect and purify our heart at all costs. Proverbs chapter 4 verse 23 in the Voice translation says this: above all else, watch over your heart, diligently guard it, because from a sincere and pure heart come the good and the noble things of life. And here's the reason I'm sharing this, like I said before, because I believe some major blessings are coming your way. But I believe the condition of your heart is going to determine whether you get 30% of that, 60% of that, or 100% of that. Say amen to that. Amen. Something recently just happened to First Lady and I. I got a text message on Friday from my Gucci rep. You know, that's the salesperson that I always buy the same stuff from, right? And so he texts me and he says, Evan. Evan, I have great news for you. Can you call me as soon as possible? And I'm thinking, it's 8:15 in the morning. He's not even at the store. I'm thinking maybe God called him into ministry. No, I'm not kidding, because when I called him, I was like, man, what great news is this? Are you called into the ministry to preach the word? He was like, no, that's not the good news. I said, what's going on? He says, Pastor, you won't believe this. He says, but Gucci, the brand Gucci, has selected you and Charisse to represent them in Italy. Listen. As customers at their fashion week that they do every year. So Gucci is paying for Charisse and I the airplane, first class, hotel. We're going to represent Gucci. What y'all talking about? Free, y'all, free. I know people be talking about me and stuff. Oh, he wear that Gucci. Well, I'll see you in Italy. Amen. How many know that's a blessing right there? And just to add this, he said to me, he said, because, you know, I'm curious. I'm like, well, who else did they pick? He said, no, that's it. I said, so out of everybody in America, he said, no, that's it. It's not like they picked a group of people. He said, no. So now that made me really feel good. I'm like, wow. Because we say it every Sunday that God is going to raise up somebody to use their power, their ability, their influence, and their resources to what? There it is right there in living color. And listen, if God is blessing the pastor, that means he's in the neighborhood. And if you my neighbor, your blessing is on the way. So point number two is a pure heart is a clean heart. A pure heart is a clean heart. Listen to Psalm 51. Most of us know this in verse 10. It says, creating me, David said, a clean heart. And then he says, and then renew a right spirit within me. And David was praying this prayer because his heart got off. And it's so easy to let your heart get off. This is why the devil sends people your way. This is why he may have your ex or exes to act up. Because all he's trying to do is mess your heart up. David knew the only way to get his heart back on track is to ask God to clean it up. And see, most of us, we never see that our hearts may be dirty. Look at your neighbor and say, do you have a dirty heart? You got to give your heart a bath every day. Come on, if you're going to give your flesh a bath, you need to give your heart a bath every day. Why? Because your flesh is not what believes God. Your heart is where you believe God. That's why David said in Psalm 119:11, he said, thy word have I hid in my heart. Why? So I may not sin against you. In other words, the word of God is the only thing that our heart can take a bath with and comes out clean. So let's look at how the condition of our hearts can affect us. Because I want to show you that the condition of your heart is what determines the quality of your harvest. In Titus chapter 1, this is so good. I'm about to say something that you may not have ever heard. Titus chapter 1 verse 15. This is what Titus said. It says, unto the pure. All things are what, church? All things are pure. To a pure person, all things are pure. But he says, but unto those that are defiled and that are unbelieving, he said, to that type of person, nothing is pure. He says, as a matter of fact, even their mind and their conscience is defiled. Now, let me read that out of the New Living Translation. He says, everything is pure to those whose hearts are pure. But nothing is pure to those who are corrupt and unbelieving, because their minds and their consciences are corrupt. Now, I want you to pay attention to what that verse is saying about an impure heart. Notice, and we're going to come back to it, but notice that it says a person with an impure heart, watch this, they are corrupt and unbelieving. Now, let's look at that word clean or pure, we're going to come back to that in just a second. The word pure there means clean. Everybody say clean. And this verse is saying that if my heart, if your heart is pure, then how you and I will see things will be pure. So watch this. So that means if my heart is not pure, if your heart is not pure, then you're not going to see things out of purity. So some of the criticisms and some of the judgments that we have about people is really not about what they're doing. It's not really about what they did. It's really about the condition of my heart that's making me see them the way I see them. If my heart is defiled, then my eyes, the eyes of my heart, will only assume the negative and the worst of people. So let me show you this word pure in another verse. In Matthew chapter 27, verse 57. Matthew 27, 57. This was Jesus talking. And it says, and when the evening was come, there came a rich man of Arimathea. His name was Joseph, who also himself was Jesus' disciples. Praise God. Jesus has rich disciples. How many are a rich disciple of Jesus? Let me see. Yeah. Praise the Lord. Watch what he says in verse 58. This man named Joseph, he went to Pilate and he begged the body of Jesus. Then Pilate commanded the body to be delivered to him. And when Joseph had taken the body, watch this, here's that word pure coming up. He wrapped it in a what kind of linen? A what? A clean linen. The word clean there is the same word pure that we read over in Titus. So when we read in Titus, when it talks about a pure heart, or it says to the pure, all things are pure. What he was saying is to the clean, all things are clean. Amen. Now, let me show you another verse. Matthew chapter 23, verse 26. We're going to see this word pure again. It's used in a different English word. Just as Jesus talking, he says, you blind Pharisee, cleanse first that which is within the cup and the platter, and that on the outside of them may be clean also. The word clean, there's the word pure. So here's the question. Why is it so important to have and maintain a pure heart? Because you can get a clean heart or a pure heart and it not stay clean or pure. Because depending on how you manage things that come into your life will determine if your heart stays clean. It's like, you know, I used to play baseball growing up. And, you know, my uniform was clean when I started the game. But as I played the game, I ended up dirty, right? Well, I'm not going to go home, put those clothes up and hang them up and then put them back on for the next game. No, I got to wash those clothes. And sometimes when we're going through difficulty and challenges, what we fail to see is the condition that our heart was in when we started and then the condition our heart is in right now. And what you don't realize is, listen, your level of believing is determined by how clean your heart is. Which brings us to point number three, which is a pure heart. This is so good right here. If you don't get anything, get this right here. A pure heart is a believing heart. Remember now, Jesus emphasized how important believing was. Listen now to Romans chapter 10. We know this verse, but I'm going to tie it into having a pure heart is equivalent to having a believing heart. I'm reading out of the New King James Version. It says that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, and everybody say and. Okay, so let me just say this. Just because people confess with their mouth Jesus don't mean they say. They can get on the stage and thank God all they want to. They can even say, I thank Jesus. But it didn't say confess with your mouth only. There's an and in there. He said, confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus. Read the next word. And do what? Believe in your, where do we believe from? Believe in your heart that God has raised from the dead, you shall be saved. And then he goes on to say, for in verse 10, for with the head one believes. Huh? What'd he say? With the what? With the heart we believe unto righteousness. And with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So listen. So our hearts control our believing. Everybody say, my heart controls my believing. Mark chapter 11, verse 23, we said it last week. Jesus said, verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say to the mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and don't doubt in their heart, here we go, but shall believe that those things which he say shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he say. So we will have what we say as long as our hearts are believing. I want you to notice that doubt is what takes place in the heart, just like believing does. So I'm going to go back now to Titus chapter 1, verse 15. I'm going to go back to this because I'm going to tie believing with having a pure heart. Because this is why a lot of people struggle with believing God for stuff. Because their heart is not in a condition for them to believe. Watch this now. Titus chapter 1, verse 15. He says, unto the pure, or unto the clean, all things are clean. But unto them that are defiled, or I'm going to say unclean. He says, those who are defiled and, what's the next word? Unbelieving. He says, a person who is unbelieving or their heart is defiled, he says, nothing is pure. Now, the word defiled there means tainted and contaminated. And this is why you have to watch who dumps on you. Do you know the devil sends specific people to contaminate your heart so the word that's in there won't work? Everybody's not for you. Amen. The word defile means tainted and contaminated. The word unbelieving there means to not believe. So watch this now. A pure heart is a believing heart. An impure heart is an unbelieving heart. I'm going to say that again. A pure heart or a clean heart is a believing heart. An impure heart or an unclean heart is an unbelieving heart. And so here's some things now that will cause a person's heart to be unclean. Here's why it's so important that you get this. Because let's say if your heart is not straight, let's say you believe in God for a promotion, right? But your heart towards your current supervisor is bad. They've contaminated your heart. I know they trying to sabotage me. They know I know more than them. They ain't went to college. I went to college. They didn't go to college. They don't know that I'm doing their job for them. If it wasn't for me, they look stupid in these meetings. See, this is how all in your heart. But you want God to promote you. Oh, so watch this. So this is why when it's time for promotion, you don't get it. You say, well, God, I don't get it. I'm qualified. I'm experienced. I've been here this. I did it. And he's saying, yeah, you are all of those, but your heart is bad. And I'm talking to some people right now. You've applied into multiple promotional positions. I want to challenge you today. I want you to examine your heart to see where it is. So here's some things that can contaminate our hearts. These are some things that keep our hearts from being pure. You know, number one, just known sins. Not the ones you don't know about. You know, that back in the day, they say sins of omission and commission. I grew up Presbyterian. I didn't know what that was. I was like, commission, that's a group, ain't it? That's a group. Sins, omission, and commission. No. Sins that you know of, that you in, that you shouldn't be in, that you haven't confessed. See, it's like this. It's one thing to be involved in sin and you're struggling to fight it. So you're constantly saying, okay, Lord, I need you to help me. I need you to forgive me. And see, when you get comfortable with that sin, you just stop asking for forgiveness. Watch this. Okay, you ready for this? When the struggle stops, sin starts. I'm going to say that again. When the struggle stops, because when you just say, oh, I just give in. You know what? I ain't going to never stop cussing. You've just accepted cussing as a part of your life. Everybody say known sins. Okay. Then we got past negative experiences. This is stuff that has happened to us in the past. And the bad part about this is, it's gone. The past cannot be changed. So if I cannot change the past, watch this. Why is this past still chained to me? Past negative experiences. Here's number three. Let me just say this. And this is why if you're single, the devil wants you to bounce in and out of bad relationships. He wants you to. He wants you to bounce in and out of relationships. Listen, why? Because every relationship you get in that wasn't God, it has messed your heart up a little bit. And God forbid you sleep with them. Okay, well, we won't talk about that. Here's number three. Personal rejections. Rejection is real. And how you handle rejection will determine the quality and the condition of your heart. Here's number four. Unforgiveness. Now, this was big because Jesus talked about this one in Mark chapter 11. After he said, you know, you have what you say, that kind of thing. Then he says, you know, therefore I say unto you, if you have aught against any, forgive them. Why? Because forgiveness is one of those things that will keep your heart from believing. It will keep your heart from standing on God's word. And a lot of people, they're in unforgiveness and they don't know it. If every thought you have about a person and everything you got to say about them is bad, your heart is wrong. Amen. Here's number five or number six. Number six, judging others. What I have, unbridled anger. Number five, unbridled anger. My number ain't they number. Unbridled anger. Let me say this. The Bible says be angry but sin not. It didn't say you can't get mad. It says be angry and sin not. You say, well, Pastor, how do I know when it's a sin or not? When you throw that pot at them, that was a sin. Amen. Amen. When you cuss them out, that's a sin. You cross the line. Here's the next one, judging others. I don't know what they have, but go by mine. Judging others. And then if you want to know all the sins that keep a heart from believing, just go to Galatians chapter 5. It talks about the work of the flesh. So now I want you to really pay attention to something. In fact, touch your neighbor and say, if you go to napping, he going to go to slapping. So listen, church, listen. So our hearts control our believing because we just said that it says a person with a pure heart, they're believing. A person who has a defiled heart, they're defiled and they're unbelieving, right? So our heart controls our believing. But did you know, watch this now, that your believing controls your obedience to God? So that means, listen, I'm going to prove it to you in just a second. That means a pure heart is a believing heart. And a believing heart is an obedient heart. And an obedient heart translates to a blessed life. Because anytime we obey God, blessings follow that. So listen to Numbers chapter 20. I'm almost done here. Numbers 20. I'm going to show you that a believing heart is an obedient heart. So if you struggle in your obedience to God, it's probably because the condition of your heart is not at a place where it's able to believe. And the only reason it's in a place to believe is because somewhere in there your heart's dirty. Now, this is not a condemning message. I really want you to get this because there are some great things that God has for us. But sometimes let me ask you something. This is one of those questions that you don't answer. You just keep to yourself. If you were your job, would you promote you? If you were your boss, would you recommend you for a promotion? Wow. Now, here's the bad part. Here's the bad part. They only see what we show them. But see, promotion doesn't come from man. The Bible says promotion comes from God. So as God is following us around 24/7, he may see that everything you saying and doing to that supervisor is good. But what they don't see, he sees. The moment you leave, you're critical about them. You're judgmental about them. You're ugly about them. Your heart is bad and nasty the rest of the way. So you really think the God who promotes is going to promote you when only 20% of what you're showing is good. Watch Numbers chapter 20. Then the Lord spoke to Moses saying, take the rod, you and your brother Aaron, gather the congregation together. And then, Moses, I want you to speak to the rock before their eyes, and it's going to yield some water. And then I want you to bring water for them out of the rock, and then give them drink to the congregation and to the animals. So Moses took the rod before the Lord as he commanded. And Moses and Aaron gathered the assembly together, took the people before the rock. And he said to them, hear now, you rebels, must we bring water for you out of this rock? And then Moses lifted his hand and he struck the rock twice with his rod. Now, I would have thought if I was Moses, after you hit it the first time, I'd have been like, oh, he didn't tell me to do that. No, Moses is like, look, so he hit it twice. And then water came out abundantly, and the congregation and their animals drank. You may say, well, Pastor, why did God let water come out of the rock when Moses disobeyed him? Because the bigger thing is God is caring for his people. So he's going to make sure the people got what they needed. So let's see what happened to Moses, verse 12. Then the Lord spoke to Moses. Watch this. Here's where we get the point. Because you did not believe me. He didn't say because you didn't obey me. He said because you didn't believe me. Because if you believe him, you will obey him. He said because you didn't believe me and hallow me in the eyes of the children of Israel. He says you won't be going into the promised land that I gave them. So here's the question. Why did God say to Moses, you didn't believe me or you didn't obey me? Because he could have. But he said you didn't believe me because you will only obey when you believe. Let's look at one more scripture and we're going to close. Second Kings chapter 17. It says, yet the Lord testified against Israel and against Judah by all of his prophets and every seer, saying, turn from your evil ways. Keep my commandments. Keep my statutes according to all the law which I commanded your fathers, which I have sent to you by my servants, the prophets. He says in verse 14, nevertheless, you would not hear, but you've stiffened your neck like the necks of their fathers. Watch this now. Who did not believe in the Lord. It's not obedience. See, obedience will happen when I believe. Do y'all see that? So that means a pure heart is a believing heart. A believing heart is an obedient heart. An obedient heart translates to a blessed life, because blessings always follow obedience. Here's the last thing right here. So having a pure heart, watch this, controls my believing, and a believing heart defines my possibilities. So that's why my heart's got to stay believing. Because Mark chapter 9 verse 23, Jesus said, if you can believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. So the condition of my heart determines my level of believing. The condition of my heart determines how many things become possible for me. So here's the last question. How do we purify our hearts and keep them pure? How do we do that? Here's point number four. You got a clean heart is a word heart. Everybody say a clean heart. Is a word heart. John 15 verse 3, Jesus said, now you are clean through the word that I have spoken to you. The word clean there is the word pure. He says, now you are pure through the word that I have spoken to you. We see that the word of God is the cleansing agent that God wants to use so that we can maintain a pure heart. That's why it's so important to stay in the word. Because if you stay in the word, your heart will stay clean. Ephesians 5, it talks about husbands loving their wives as Christ loved the church. And then it says in verse 26 that he, Jesus, might sanctify his church by cleansing it with the washing of the water of the word. 1 Peter chapter 1 tells us, see, you have purified your souls. How? In obeying the truth through the Spirit. Then he says, see that you love one another with a pure heart fervently. John 15, 7 says this, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you will and it shall be done. So when you and I, we get the word inside of us, the word will clean your heart up. And that's why when you say something wrong or when you do something wrong and your heart's clean, the Holy Spirit can convict you. See, when we constantly doing stuff, here's my phrase. When you mess up, you mess up, fess up, right? That's it. When you stop fessing up, your heart gets callous. So now, this is why you see foolishness on the internet. You see people cussing in the pulpit. That's foolishness right there. You know what? Their heart has cussed so much that they are callous when it comes to conviction now. And so now it's like, well, the Lord's okay with cussing. In what century? And let me just be bold. Don't have a standard for a pastor that you don't live for yourself. We all have the same book. Right? Now I know there's different qualifications to be a pastor. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the way God wants us to live. Amen. How many know if you saw some pastor cussing on the internet or on the pulpit, wouldn't that be wrong? Raise your hand if you think it's wrong. Okay, then it's wrong for you to cuss too. I set you up for that one. So here we go. Oh man. He says, if your words abide in me, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, Jesus said, you can ask what you will and it shall be done. So you and I can abide in Christ. Watch this. And his words not abide in us. See, if I accept Christ, I'm abiding in him. But he didn't say, if you abide in me, then you should ask what you will. He says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you. Amen. So let me just break it down like this and we're going to end. John 15:7 says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you. That word there is rhema. It means the spoken or uttered word, right? So Jesus is saying, if you have a relationship with me and you have fellowship with me and my rhema word is coming out of your mouth, you're going to be able to say and ask whatever you will and it's going to be done. And see, most people don't have the rhema word in their mouth. They just have the logos word in their mouth. They're just repeating what the word says. See, repeating what the word says is different from me saying the word. I can repeat what it says, but that don't mean it's in my heart. That just means it's in my head. But when I can say it from here, then it's coming from my heart. And the Bible says in Luke 6:45, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart, he brings forth that which is good. An evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart brings forth that which is evil. Listen to this. For out of the abundance of the heart, watch this. So that's how you can monitor your heart right there. So how do we apply today? Number one, let the Holy Spirit examine your heart. Let him examine your heart. Then number two, let your previous words help you to determine your heart condition. And just go back to what you were saying yesterday and the day before that and the day before that. And what have you been saying that's going to help you determine the condition of your heart? And then number three, be intentional in pouring in the word. Listen, I'm going to listen to the word preached and I'm going to listen to the word itself every day. I'm going to play the Bible on my phone. I'm going to listen to the Bible. I'm going to listen to somebody preaching. And of course, that I'm going to make sure that who I'm listening to, they qualify. Because I'm not just into somebody making me feel good. I want you to tell me something that is principle-based from the word that I can apply to my life and change my life. And I don't know about you, but I want my life changed. Amen? Amen. Did you get something out of today? So with every head bowed and every eye closed, you may be here and you're not saved. In other words, if you died today.